Podcast live from Nashville and Madison.
Dude, it's a million degrees in Madison, Indiana right now.
I think it's all that look that I look, yeah.
Dude, it's stupid hot outside. I went and tried to plant some flowers earlier, and it ain't happening until evening time. Because, you know, it's the same thing happens in Tennessee. It's just a different kind of hot, man. Super humid.
I think it's close, just under 100 degrees here in Nashville this week, at least the early part of this week. So, hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Ding.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a voice today, and there's a reason for that. And I just spent 4 days in an incredibly intensive, one of the most intensive things I've done, Tony Robbins event, virtual event, Unleash the Power. And I had to play in church, or I went to church and I played in the band. So I missed Sunday morning. But other than that, it was full on from 8 a.m. till 10 p.m. with a few breaks, and breaks are usually only a half hour. I mean, Tony Robbins is, yeah,
it's a machine, so, right?
He's a machine.
Your voice sounds way better than it did Saturday night. It was rough Saturday night.
It was pretty bad. Because what it is he gets you all hyped up, and there's a reason for that. You know, I always wondered why in church they would ask you to stand up. And I'm like, I would say, why do we have to stand up? Well, the first step in being in a beautiful state, well, we'll talk a little bit about it. Is that all right, Jimmy? You talk about, because
yeah, please do, man.
I have like all about it. 100 pages of notes. Well, first of all, maybe frame it a bit. I mean, I guess regrets are something that aren't any good to hang on to. But one regret I have is that I didn't tap into Tony Robbins earlier. And I was and I've said this before, I thought it was the Stuart Smalley. Doggone it! The Saturday Night Live skit.
I'm smart enough. I'm good enough.
I'm smart enough. I'm good enough. I'm making
people like me.
And that's what I thought of Tony Robbins. And it wasn't, and you actually influenced me. It was 1 year ago, about, there was an event in Nashville, and it only cost $19 to go. And it was called Success Resources or something like that. No, National Achievers Congress is what it was. And Gary Vee was there. Tony Robbins was there. Dean Graziosi was there. All these big players that now I'm quite familiar with. I really wasn't even embarrassed to admit I lived a long time on this earth, and I wasn't even familiar with some of these people. What alternative universe was I living in that I wasn't familiar? And Tony Robbins came and spoke, and actually I thought about not going to this event, and you remember you were telling me that you thought Tony Robbins was the bomb. Remember that conversation?
I do. That it was a once-in-a-lifetime kind of opportunity, and he's a once-in-a-generation.
Once-in-a-generation. And I immediately realized how genuine he is. He was scheduled to speak for 2 hours, and I think he spoke for 4. Jeff says people like you too. People do genuinely like you. You don't have to just hype yourself up, Jeff. So Tony, you know, his concept time is not concept. In fact, he even says, I wrote it down here, time is an emotion and it's not a real fact. And alternative universe born in South Dakota. Yes, I was in an alternative universe, born in South Dakota, but a different universe than much of the rest of the country or the world, maybe. Anyway, he over-delivers, and you can see it, that he's so genuine. He's the most genuine guy, and he literally gets so much joy, and even, I'd say, even ecstasy, if they can say that, deep enjoyment from helping people. It is so obvious it's written all over his face. The guy is as genuine as possibly can be.
He's a godsend. And
yeah, he's something else. And what he brings with him. And I'm like, what, you know, some of it is a little touchy-feely. You know, all these different things, like, I mean, that's what it would be viewed at by an outsider. Things like the what was it we were talking about earlier?
Physiology.
I meant to say the law of attraction. Yeah, law of attraction, which is another thing I'd never really heard. All of those kinds of things, self-help things, I'd stayed away from and hadn't indulged in. And now there's a lot to it. And I'll just talk about one of the things that he talks about. He talks about being in a beautiful state and how we can get ourselves in a beautiful state. And I'm a person who suffers from depression, and it's been kind of gone through my family. My dad suffered from it, although nobody had labeled it as such. And I know that my sisters have as well. And I don't know if there's a genetic predisposition to that. I've talked to people who can't even imagine why anyone would ever be that way, don't have that issue. And Tony talks about a way of getting yourself, I mean, we want to live in a bit of suffering. He calls that suffering. If you're angry or if you're sad or if you're depressed, it's suffering. And it is. I mean, it's not a good state to be in. Who wants to be in that state? Nobody logically would want to be in that state, although we do tend to be. It's addictive. I don't want to let go of my anger. I don't want to let go. Right? What do you?
Absolutely.
You know, some people
fall in love with their pain, too. You know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's who I am. Right. And Tony called it his home. What's your emotional home? And, you know, so there's logically, you know, I want to get rid of this, but yet on the other, it's been with me so long, I identify with this. So Tony, and he even talked about this. I heard him speak all weekend, although he's been doing this for 43 years now, and he started when he was 17, and he speaks for like 50 hours a weekend, and his voice is irreversibly damaged. And become speaking for so long, you know, just like if you overuse, just like guitar players who played for a long time, like Eric Clapton, he's got nerve damage. I mean, the body wears out. I mean, even if you take good care of it, and in spite of how great living he has, he's got his vocal cords are messed up, so he can't speak two consecutive days. So he didn't speak Friday. And he wasn't supposed to speak yesterday, but he came in the end. And anyway, so we spoke the most important parts, the first day and then day three, which is Transformation Day. Anyone who has the opportunity to go to Unleash the Power, you need to go. It will change your life. And it's not hokey pokey. It's tools. And the amount of information coming at you is you have to take notes. And it's going to take me a year to try to implement all the tools and things. And one thing I'm going to do is talk about health. Yesterday was health, how to maintain energy. And people that know me are probably going to fall off their chair when they hear this. I'm known as a coffee drinker. I drink coffee all day long. And in fact, I can drink a pot of coffee before I go to bed. But it was portrayed as being one of those acid addictions, alcohol, smoking,
Sugar
are all acid addictions. And no one has ever, and of course in the state that they talk about, I mean, I got to the point by then, anything you tell me, I'm basically going to believe because they won my trust over those 4 days. Sure. And so yesterday they were talking about, okay, you want to do all these things, you want to accomplish all these things in your life. You're not going to be able to accomplish it if you don't have higher energy. And Joseph McClendon was there, and he spoke the second. He was the fill-in when Tony couldn't speak. And I think he also was at the National Achievers Conference. I'm not sure. Joseph is an African-American man, high energy, and he's also a little hard. He's kind of a little harsher than Tony. I mean, he says things and he like gets in your face more than Tony. Tony does too, but anyway. And he's saying, I didn't tell you this before, but I'm 66 years old and I have more energy than my 13-year-old son. And people in the comments are going, I'm going crazy. I thought he was like in his 40s because he does look young. Of course, I mean, I hope this isn't racist. You know, there is the phrase, black don't crack, you know.
True, man. That's absolutely true.
African Americans age better, and Asians also age well.
Yeah,
there's something in skin or something, or maybe it's a diet. So he's got that going for him because he's black. Black don't crack. But even in spite of that, he still looks quite young. And he talked about, you know, he has more energy than his 13-year-old son. And so he had a son when he was 53, I guess. So he talked about these things. He talked about the changes you need to make in your life. Drink a lot more water. I mean, look, I got this right here. And I mean, I've heard this all this time. And why did it click? But he talked about your acid addiction. And I know I've heard this before. In fact, I heard it from my pastor in South Dakota. He got off coffee. He used to drink a lot of coffee. But I didn't like him right then, so I didn't hear his story. I just realized, I was thinking about that this morning. Somebody gives you great advice and you really don't like them, you're not probably not going to listen to it. But if you, does that make sense?
Big time.
And so someone who you like and trust, I think, needs both. This is something just I'm riffing here to give you advice. Just fell off my friend's sofa. No more coffee for Tim. Yes.
Anyone I was shocked this morning too, Jeff.
I'm not giving it. I'm going to one pot a day to start and maybe decaf. But I had a cup this morning and I don't have any desire for any more. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, part of it is the process that we went through. We did all of this. I mean, we were getting all this. I did more jumping and screaming than I thought I could physically do, because he pushes you physically so that the things he says, the physiological state is number one. That's the first thing. You get in that state and you will learn these things. They will be into your body and your soul as far as what you're learning. So we all want to be in a beautiful state. Beautiful state means happy, not depressed, not angry. And it's like one of the exercises he has you go through is, okay, think about your happiest moment, biggest success moment when you accomplished, you know, something, and then take note of where your body is. You know, right. Your chest is up, your shoulders are back. I mean, you're confident. Take note of that, and that's physiological state. I'm probably doing a really poor job, but this is as best I can do to explain what he explained. And then think of when you had your worst failure and you were depressed or sad or angry, and what happens? You know, what do? Your head goes down, shoulders kind of come forward, and you kind of go in like this. And so the basic of how it works is make the tail wag the dog. He didn't specifically say this, but if you're feeling depressed or depression coming on, put yourself in the state of being the other state, the physiological state, you know. And he talked about there's a right here in your chest and your sternum, you know, and measure it. It's just a small, it's 2 millimeters. You go up and keep it up. You're in the positive state. And where's the difference? Where's the line? And experiment with that. And it's like you put yourself in the physiological state and Jeff says, I've heard Tony Robbins is to the soul of Baskin Robbins is to dessert.
Sounds legit.
So again, that to keep stay in a beautiful state, the goal is to stay in a beautiful state, because when you're angry, I've realized, I was telling you this morning, I find myself getting angry and upset about people who have different viewpoints than I do, and I spend too much time. So the second part of that is focus. And where focus goes, energy flows. So if you focus on what you don't have, what are you going to get more of? You're going to get more of not having that. So focus, where your focus goes. I mean, and that's a big one for me. I need to focus on positive things. I mean, I guess my dad kind of got into this a little bit. I remember when I was a kid, positive thinking, he would listen to some positive things. I was thinking about this. I remember he had cassette tapes that he would get. And he did a little bit of it, but it fell off of him, or he stopped doing it, or whatever you would say. But I remember he was exposed to positive thinking. He would listen to this guy that was kind of a positive thinking guy. But I feel that just that part alone isn't enough. I think what Tony presents is a holistic that is sustainable. The physiological physiology is really a big thing that I remember. This is the third time I heard it, because I heard him at Success Resources. And I remember leaving there, that's a little hokey pokey. And then he spoke again at Funnel Hacking Live. And now I guess I'm slow. I got to hear it at least 3 times before I'm into it. And I'm like, I was 100% in. Okay, teach me, Tony. Teach me how to do this. And so, you know, be aware of your physiological state. And it's like any other thing. It's a skill. You have to build it. It's like a muscle. He would say it's a muscle. You have to exercise it. And then the third point is words and meanings. And you have lectured me or told me, don't say that. Don't criticize. Don't say negative things. And I can do that. And so words have meanings. And he would say, 2-million-year-old brain. I'm a creationist, so, you know, hateful comments, whatever, bring it on. I don't think we have a 2-million-year-old brain, because I don't think the Earth is that old. I'm more of a young earther. But anyway, he would say the 2-million-year-old brain, and our brain doesn't know the difference between artificial reality and real reality. I mean, we tell our brain something, our brain gets tricked. And so when we keep telling our brain, you know, you're an idiot, Tim, you effed up, Tim, talking to myself, my brain starts believing it. So words and meaning are really important. And you combine those 3 things to get yourself into a beautiful state and stay in a beautiful state, live in a beautiful state. So that alone was worth the entire weekend. If I can, 3 times for things, yes, okay. Jeff says 3 times for things is a magic number. Remember the wise old owl and how many licks to get to the center of the Tootsie Roll. I don't know that one, Jeff, but that sounds like a good one. The owl Tootsie Roll, all that.
It was 3 and a bite. The owl licked it 3 times and then he bites into the Tootsie Roll.
Okay, you know, I don't know that particular story. Where did that come from? What is that from?
It was a commercial for Tootsie Rolls.
Okay. All right. So anyway, that's some of the things, you know, that was like a 2-hour session, you know, and so to add on to that, all the different sessions, I mean, it's going to take me a year to unpack all of the tools and the things. We did a board breaking where you're supposed to, well, I did something similar to that after the National Achievers Congress. Jeff says old commercial. After the National Achievers Congress, you know, we didn't have TV in the 70s. I grew up without TV. My parents wouldn't let me have TV. We didn't have, it was probably not a bad thing, actually. Yeah. But I was really woefully culturally pretty naive about a lot of cultural things because it was, you know, a group.
I think it paid off for you because now you've read like 9 million books and you know everything. So it probably was a blessing in the end.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. So what was my train of thought? You blew me off my train of thought.
Just how long it'll take to implement.
Yeah, all this stuff is going to take time. It's a muscle. You work on it. And
well, it's tricky, man. It's like a tennis match in your mind, and I deal with it every day of focusing on how what you're thinking makes you feel. And it's something that so many people are just completely oblivious to. You think a thought, that thought makes you feel a certain way. And it's easy for us to sort of go into autopilot and sit around and dwell on things that make us feel like crap. And really, it is that simple. It really is. It feels like a tennis match, but it really is that easy. If you think a thought and go, this thought makes me feel terrible. I don't like the way I feel right now. Well, think about something that makes you feel good. But it takes a lot of practice, and I don't necessarily have it down any better than anybody else does, but I've been practicing it for probably 10 years now, and it's hard to be aware of what you're really thinking and how it's making you feel all the time. But I think as a whole, society is super guilty of looking at things that make them feel a certain way, and then we pour all of our energy into it. We're always pushing back on the things we don't like instead of focusing on the things that we do.
Yes, I think can become self-fulfilling, 100%, 100%. So talking about that, I could talk for probably 10 hours on this thing, and I haven't even unpacked everything. But talking about that, he talked about the cycle of, see if I can find it. Well, it's so many different tools. I mean, how Tony got started. Tony had a rough young life. He had four fathers. He was very poor, didn't have enough money, and didn't have enough food. And then his fathers left, and his mother wasn't a good role model. And he just basically literally pulled himself up out of his bootstraps. And he tells some of these stories. I've heard some of them multiple times, but I like hearing them because it's so defining. He started by saying he was going to change his life. And he started by reading books. I remember it was like he read a book, three books. I can't remember that. He read some of these books, and he found a guy named Jim Rohn, who was really a precursor to, you know, he's one of his big influences. And he started working for him. He went to him and said, "I'm going to work for you." And first he said, "I want to go to your seminar, and would you loan me the money?" And I guess Jim Rohn, he described him as being a little bit of a tough guy. He was very giving on stage. When he got off stage, he was kind of surly. And he said, "Son, I'm not your banker." So he tells all these stories. He went to the bank, and it was $1,200 to go to the seminar. This was in the 70s. He's 60 years old now. He was 17 at that time. And so that would have been 1977, I guess. And he went to the bank and he says, "I need $1,200 and I want you to loan me $1,200. And before he went in, he said he didn't even know about the state. But one of the things he would say, he would go, "Make your move, make your move." And that is, it's like whatever your move is to get your, you see athletes before. I was a wrestler and you were a wrestler. You go out and you get all psyched up. And he said he did that before. And he says, "Make your move." If he said "make your move" once, he said it 100 times over the weekend. But he's getting people psyched up because that he says there's science behind. You retain more of it if you're in that elevated state of excitement in your brain. And he didn't really know what he was doing, but before he went in to apply for his loan, he said he got himself all excited, like slapping his chest, and I'm like. And he goes in and he says he looked for the bank person who looked to be the easiest that he could convince. And he found this woman and he went to her and he's all, talking fast and says, "I need you this money. I'll pay back. And she said, "Wait a minute, son. And let me see your application." And he really didn't have anything. He had an old 68 Beetle that he was sleeping in at the time. But he was so passionate, he convinced her to co-sign a loan. $1,200 in 1977 is a lot of money.
And the banker co-signed it?
The banker co-signed the loan.
Wow.
And he told her that he would be telling the story. He doesn't mention her by name, but he says, "You will not regret this, and I will tell this story for the rest of my life." And then as he tells a story, I mean, he's a much better storyteller than I just told it. He drags it out. I mean,
talk about a salesman. That's like the ultimate.
And he says, "I will tell this story for the rest of my life." And he said, and I just fulfilled that promise today by telling you this story. And so this woman, I don't know if she's still alive. He didn't really say that, but he didn't forget that. And he was able to convince it. And he went to Jim Rohn, and he worked with Jim Rohn, and he read all these books. So you were saying about reading books. I mean, that's how he got started. He just got all these books and started reading, just inhaling all this information. And reading, I mean, not everybody's a reader. I mean, you would rather take on information by video. And now that's a possibility. Video or audio, audio might work for you as well.
I like audio books.
You know, so There are people, people learn visually, people learn auditorially. It's a word. I like visual, I like reading. And so he read a lot of books, and that's how he got started on his journey. And now he's got 54 companies and over $6 billion in sales. And but the thing about it is, he so over-delivered. I think I paid $500 for this event. And of course, when I paid for it, it was at Funnel Hacking Live. And nobody, COVID was not a thing that anybody knew what it was. And we all thought that, you know, it's going to be a live thing. And suddenly COVID comes, you can't have meetings. So Tony, an interest of his business is in these events. The Tony Robbins, Robbins Research is the name of that company, the company that does all the coaching and everything. And they couldn't have live events. So he said, how am I going to make this work? So he developed, he spent, I got it written down somewhere. It's either seven or millions and millions of dollars. Had a seven in it. It was either 717 or 70. I don't remember.
It was at least, $7 million.
At least $7 million. Oh, Jeff, I'm so glad that we entertain you.
Thank
you. I hope we inspire you as well. I hope. I mean, my goal is everything that I do, and I think you agree, entertain and inspire. I hope that that is something that I can do, and I know you feel the same way, Jeff. So Tony, I guess he's living in Florida now. He's got places. He owns an island in the Fiji. And so he's got a lot of properties. The man's worth billions of dollars. But Ford is where his business is. And he built this in a warehouse, apparently, this stage. It looked like it was, there were some overhead shots. This custom built stage was like probably 40 feet in diameter. It was round. And in a semicircle around it was LED strips. You know, like when you go to concerts, like I saw the Rolling Stones, and they had like 100 feet tall LED walls. They're one foot, put them together. They're like $1,000 a piece. And you can make LED one. You can make it one big picture. You can make it smaller pictures. There's software and all that. And he built this in a semicircle. And he went with Zoom and talked to the president of Zoom and said, we're going to fix it to do something that's going to break the internet. And I knew you helped us. Awesome, Jeff. So glad you're tuning in. Thank you so much for tuning in and watching. Anyway, so Tony goes to Zoom, which some of you may have done Zoom calls, especially if you're doing business now in the COVID era where you do a face call at time. It looks like time, right? Just for business. And went to Zoom and said, I need to be able to have 20,000 people on one event. And I know you don't have the software for that. Will you work with me? So Zoom literally had to write software and probably get some more servers. I don't know what all they had to do, but he went to, but what if Tony Robbins calls and you're the president of Zoom? Are you going to take that call, you think, Jimmy?
Yeah, that's a guy that you definitely want to have a favor in the bank with.
Yes. So he worked with Zoom and got it, and there were 23,000 people on that event. I don't think that ever been
call.
Sorry, say it again.
On a Zoom call.
Yeah, and how it was set up. So there are rooms. I like the way they set it up. So there were rooms. So there must have been, I think there were about 250 or 280 people in my room. I was in room 17. And so let's say there were 300. So, or let's say 230. So that would have been, what are that, 230? 2300, that would have been 100 rooms, right? So there must have been about 100 rooms. And we had our own chat for our room. And we actually bonded.
Where's the Guinness Book of World Records at, man?
They're talking about that. And there was commentary saying that maybe when he does the next one, he may have Guinness there to certify, so he gets some kind of a record for that. But anyway,
groundbreaking.
Yeah, it is. He said, and we were kind of the guinea pig, if you will, to get to generate that. So yeah, 23,000 people on one call. He developed the technology. He made it happen because he wanted to, and the joy he gets on his face, I almost bring tears when, you know, the transformation people are, and then they would highlight, they have all these small little rooms and he could walk up to the screen and he would call out people and he would high five them virtually. And then they would make some of them bigger so we all could see them on the screen. And there are people with notes. I love you, Tony. You saved my life. You delivered me just from 2 days before when we did this event. He has this event where he associates pain, where if you have bad beliefs about yourself, he says you need to find leverage, and neurological programming is what it is. And he said he was watching the Dickens Christmas Carol and realized that Scrooge basically had three neurologic programmers come to him and reprogram his thinking. And that's what he was doing. So he calls it the Dickens process. And basically, you will change anything if you can find leverage. And leverage usually is pain. People respond more to avoiding pain than chasing towards pleasure. So pain is a stronger motivator. He told a story about a guy. What he used to do is he used to advertise. Said, "I don't care what your price is, I can fix it for $2." And he told us one story. I'm kind of rambling here. He told us one story of a guy who he said I was younger and more cocky then, and he had these radio call-in shows, and he would proclaim, "I can fix anybody." And this guy called and said, "I'm a psychologist, and I've been treating this woman for 7 years, and she has this deathly fear of snakes. And she has dreams where these snakes are on her face." And he said, "Bring her down." And the guy was very confrontational. And he tells the story. He, great storyteller. Tony Robbins is a phenomenal storyteller. He tells the story of the guy coming in. He's trying to pick him out. And he's a short, fat Jewish guy. And he's bringing this woman. And he gets her on stage. And the guy's confrontational while he's doing it. And he said by the end of the session, he was throwing snakes at her and it didn't bother her.
Wow.
So, Jimmy, I know you've been struggling with smoking. If you would ever have a session, you might cost you $1 million, but he could get you to quit smoking in a session.
Yeah.
And that's what you do. But, yeah, pain is fuel, definitely. So.
Absolutely.
He used to do those sort of things. And the guy who had been treating this woman for 7 years got really angry because he basically fixed her. And he also does suicide interventions, and he said knock on wood, I've not lost anyone yet, and we keep track of all these people. And if you've seen the Netflix series I Am Not Your Guru, I haven't seen it yet, but I gotta watch it. He does a suicide intervention live, or it was live then, it wasn't planned, and that woman is still alive and doing well. And he said, "We haven't lost anyone yet. I mean, we might lose once one day, but so far over all these 43 years I've done a lot of suicide intervention." And deep stuff.
He's a godsend. It's interesting on that movie, I'm Not Your Guru, that a lot of the people that sign up for his self-help class and his business stuff, the thing that stood out to me the most is, many times in that movie, he'll say, "Where do you want to get to?" And they always have a goal. They always have a definitive goal. And he'll say, "Okay, what's stopping you from getting there?" And these people always know.
Yeah, that's another one of his things. Absolutely.
I have no idea why I can't get there. I have no clue why I can't succeed. I have no idea why. They always know exactly what they need to do. They answer their own questions when you start asking them these questions.
Absolutely.
What's stopping you? What behaviors are stopping you? And why aren't you where you want to be? And what's it going to take to get you to where you need to go? And they answer their own questions. And he's like, there it is. All he does is ask the right questions.
But he asked the right questions. That's 43 years of learning. he knows how to do that. You know, sure. It's it makes it look easy, but it's not. It's a very high elevated art that he does. I saw him do that at Fall Hacking Live. There was a woman there who was depressed, and she was afraid her marriage was failing, and she was trying to juggle a business with her marriage, and the business was failing. And he went and stood in front of her and asked her some questions. Everybody was crying by the end of it. I mean, you can't go to a Tony Robbins event. You'd have to be dead not to get teary-eyed, because he tells so many moving stories and moves into these emotional states. And one of the things he did, for example, when he does the Dickens thing, he has you, and he gets kind of mean. And he did this as video, so we could hear a video of him doing it live, and where he, you know, the three goals, neurological programming, and he has you imagine all of these doubts you have about yourself. I'm not good enough. I'm too young. He talks about his early one. He was not educated. He tells a story about this for his first client, and then he said, then he describes it. It was himself. You don't know it's himself until at the end, where he thought he was too young. He thought he was too uneducated, not smart enough. All these are all beliefs that limit us, and he breaks them using the Dickens method that he developed, which is developing so much pain, which was what they did in the movie. In the Dickens was very smart. What did the ghosts do? Ghosts of Christmas past, ghosts of Christmas present, and ghosts of Christmas future. What do you remember, Jimmy? What did they do?
Well, they come in the Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
They show that they just revisit his life and, you know, what things were in the past and what things could have been.
What he lost because of his belief. Because the Scrooge was a man who had lost a partner, and he thought that the only way he could succeed was to be mean. And he thought that was meant he was a good businessman, ruthless and mean, without a heart. And so they showed him what he'd lost in the past by being that way, what he was losing currently, and then what he was losing going forward. And the going forward one is the biggest one, is the most powerful one. You know, if you hang on to these beliefs for 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, where are you going to be? In 10 years, if you focus on the wrong things,
you know,
don't take care of yourself.
And the comments were, and you could hear emotional, and he literally said, you know, a lot of people had their family in the room, and he said, if you have kids, he said in advance, he said, we don't want them in this room because you may not want them to see you in the state you're going to get into, because he puts you by imagining. The mind is an amazing thing, the places we can go in our mind. He puts you in a state of imagining where you're literally dragging the physical beliefs that you have with you 10, even 20 years into the future, and the sounds that you make when you're going through that, and the video that he was showing where he did it live, and you could hear the audience, and in the comment section, group 17, bravo group 17, after it was done, people were saying, well, that sounded like I imagine hell might sound like, the pain, the anguish, the emotions of, because he would say, what, you know, make, you know, you hang on to these beliefs for 20 years. Excuse me. I really racked my voice. I hope it's sing. I got to make more videos. I've got to do, is this my monkey? I got all the, I got
to nice.
I just got to record the vocals, song we wrote.
Nice. Are you going to use the, Are you going to use the music demo that we did, or did you recut it?
I recut it, but I did it exactly the way you did the part with the different parts.
Nice.
The different, what do you call it? The rumba beat and then the shuffle.
Yeah. It's an Otis Rush thing, old Chicago blues thing, and go from a rumba to a shuffle.
Yeah. Is this your monkey? My uncle had a monkey. He named him Bill. I can't remember how it goes. My uncle had a monkey named him Bill. He never sit still, crawling on the ceiling, crawling on the floors. Oh, I hope people like that, because it's gonna be so much fun to have it out.
It was fun to write, for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, a lot of our songs are deep, emotional, and we've got a couple. That's one that is light. You know, there's no hidden message. It's just.
Yeah, and you got to do that sometimes, man. You know, as a writer, you can't always take yourself super seriously. Sometimes you just got to rinse out the brushes and kind of be silly.
Yeah, I think it's so. So anyway, doing the Dickens process, I mean, just to wrap that up, maybe I had already wrapped it up, but yeah, you know, the pain and that you, if you imagine by dragging all of these beliefs, limiting beliefs, with you, how that affects you, how that affects your health, how that affects your appearance. I mean, he would say, "Are you fat? Are you look old?" You know, I mean, he got pretty harsh in that video. You know, and the result.
Well, most people never face many of those emotions, and it comes out in different ways. You know, it comes out through binge eating or drugs or alcohol.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. You know, it surfaces. It's going to manifest itself.
Yes.
It's just a matter of how it does it, and that's the issue. Is so many people think of themselves in a negative connotation, and then it leaks out in ways that they're oblivious to oftentimes. I mean, it's the whole correlation between abuse, you know, child abuse and drug addiction, and there's a gazillion studies on all that stuff, single parent households and alcoholism and drug addiction. And
you know, our brains are amazing, you know, amazing gift.
Yes.
You know, it's and you know, I'm a Christian and I love the Lord and I serve the Lord. And some of this might be thought of as being Eastern mysticism, but I mean, there's scriptures that back it up. You know, take every thought captive, renew your minds.
These power are scriptures. In the word. Don't speak, you know, curses into your life.
Yeah. So you know,
Jesus says the word meditate many times.
So yeah, meditate on it. Yeah. Think on these things or meditate depending on the transition. So I think it aligns with a Christian life, even if a person is not a believer. You know, the power of the mind. I mean, the mind is such an amazing thing. And not to get nasty or anything, but you know what the biggest sexual organ we have is our mind.
It's all about what's going on upstairs, man. Yeah. Everything is. You can't walk across the room unless you believe you can do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Everything is in our beliefs. Everything is in our beliefs and in our visualizations. If you see it in the mind and you feel it with your emotions, it will manifest itself eventually.
One of the exercises we did, now normally what he does, and maybe we're past 40 minutes so we can wrap this up fairly soon, but normally in a normal live, everybody there, UPW, Unleash the Power, you do a firewalk where you walk across hot coals. And it's, you know, so it's basically convincing you can do something that you don't think you could do. Well, even with Tony Robbins' reach and power, it was going to be hard to do that safely. You know, what are we all going to do? Have coals in our backyards and walk across them? So he came up with an alternative where he sent this box. Actually, I got this box. Got this box. And it was my book. Also, was this board here. And you can see it's broken because I did the exercise and I broke the board. And I wrote some of my beliefs on here. I'm not going to reveal them because it's very private. But on the other side of the board was what I was, you know. Oh, well, I'll say what I have. It's on this side was I'm not good enough or talented enough. That's what was I went with. And, you know, it's interesting because I did a similar exercise at Millionaire Minds. And they had us do the arrow thing where you put an arrow in your throat and you break the arrow. was scary, man. Especially when we built it up. He made us sign a release, you know, if we're injured, that we don't sue him. And he played it up about, you know, I hope you guys don't get injured. I mean, it was kind of cruel. And it's really pretty safe, actually. But you put it right here. And you walk into someone until the arrow breaks. And I've noticed, I didn't think of it till now. I wrote something on that arrow, a belief that I had. And I when I was filling this out, I realized that I hadn't thought of that belief since then. It's like I literally broke it out of my life. And that's interesting stuff. You know, so it'd be interesting to see if, you know, I'm able to eradicate that one from doing that exercise.
It's all belief, man. Everything is belief. Jeff, that is one of my favorite quotes. That's the famous Henry Ford quote. It's written in my garage. I have that very quote written above the door in my garage. I see.
Do you think you can or you think you can't? You're correct both times.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Love it.
Absolutely true.
Thank you, everybody. I hope we've entertained you, inspired you, served you in some way. And should we call it?
Let's call it, brother.
We're going to try to do, our schedule is to do this every Monday at this time. Now, we have been excellent in meeting it in the breach of following it, not following it, I mean.
Some things have been out of our hands, man. I mean, 2020, it's been
tough.
We've been navigating some pretty murky waters.
Thank you, Jeff. Yep. All right, everybody. Peace. Jimmy D and the Wolf. See you next time.
See you next time. Take care. God bless.